Farley Cohen is managing director in the Toronto office of Navigant Consulting's litigation and investigations practice, where he specializes in business valuations and quantification of economic damages. Now, prior to joining Navigant Consulting, Farley was the head of Kroll's Canadian Valuation Services Group, also a partner at a prominent business valuation firm, and worked for several years in the insolvency group of a major international accounting firm, has appeared as an expert witness at numerous trials and other court proceedings in Canada and the UK. In 2006, recognized as one of Canada's top 25 expert witnesses by Lexpert American Lawyer, has also acted as mediator and arbitrator in many disputes, has written articles for legal publications, has been a speaker at many seminars and law firms, and is a guest on The Big Show. Farley, thanks for joining us on the show. I need to admit right off the top that I had never heard of a CBV until I saw a news release about them just this week.
Well, thank you for having me, John. Yes, there's about 1,200 of us, and we're all members of the Canadian Institute of Chartered Business Valuators.
Now, of course, both Valentine's Day and Family Day this year are come in the midst of a bit of a crisis, an economic crisis. Job losses are rampant. Asset values are plunging.
Mm-hmm.
So your job is challenging enough. It probably becomes far more difficult when it comes to dividing family assets and looking for a fair and equitable solution. Was this the reason, though? I don't think it is. You've been around since 1971, so I appear ignorant already because this is the first time I've heard of CBVs. What was the initial need which sparked the creation of Chartered Business Valuators in 1971?
Well, John, that's a good question. Originally, we came about in 1971 because of the introduction of capital gains taxes. And all of a sudden, people had to value all of their businesses so that they could pay tax on the gains that they had earned.
Right.
And since then, it's developed to all kinds of reasons, all kinds of purposes, taxes still, but also divorce cases, also helping people buy and sell their businesses. And when people are litigating with each other as well, they need to determine how much something is worth. So we have a whole array of purposes that we're used for nowadays.
And we do hope, of course, that most people are celebrating Valentine's Day and Family Day this weekend. But for those in the process of dissolving a marriage, it's a weekend of much less joy, probably, as they try to put a value on assets to be divided. What makes it even more difficult, I guess, if one of them or both of them are one of them owns a business or two of them are partners in a business, then I guess you guys are really needed because you've got two jobs to do.
That's right. We're very involved in situations like that, and particularly now where the economy has changed so much so quickly. And the underlying basis for determining value is the future outlook and the risks involved in a business going forward. And so as a result of all the changes in the economy, it's become much more complicated, much more difficult to foresee or to try and project exactly what's going to happen. And our second purpose is also with respect to divorce cases is we're also helpful in determining income for support purposes. CBVs are involved in that as well. And here again, we're looking at historic situations to see what income people have and also trying to project a little bit into the future as to what their income might be as well for paying their spouse support.
And of course, it has to be independent, has to be objective. Do both sides have their own CBV or does one CBV do the work for the entire project?
In the most common situations, each side would normally have their own CBV. However, as time progresses, there's more use of alternative dispute resolution, and in some of those situations where there's a mediation or an arbitration, there may be one CBV, one business value, retained on behalf of both parties. Normally, if it goes to a trial, there would be one on behalf of each, and the CBVs would then present their evidence to the court, and the court would decide.
And one would hope that the latter is the case because it would make for a less acrimonious situation, I guess.
Well, it depends. Sometimes where you have one CBV acting on behalf of both parties, it can make things easier and smoother, although depending on the emotional positions, if you want to say, of the parties, they may not trust the CBV, and so therefore it may actually be cheaper in the long run to have your own representing you rather than having one on behalf of both.
I know it's not a situation to make light of, but I'm thinking one of them thinking that the other one's being paid under the table or something. I don't know. And you guys are, you know, of course, are have to be objective through the whole thing.
Well, that's right. And our role even in the court system is to be objective and to assist the court in reaching a proper and a well-thought-out decision. The circumstances may be that they may think one is getting paid under the table. They may also think that there is a situation where there's non-disclosure of corporate assets or personal assets, And that's where sometimes our forensic accounting side of things come in as CBVs as well. And we try to help them determine what the appropriate value is for the assets, what assets to be accounted for, and what income is derived from those assets.
You got to be a person of many hats, I would think, to become a CBV. Do you have to be a CA to start with?
You don't have to be a CA. Most of our members are CAs, but you don't have to have a CA. We have our own system of courses and exams, and our members, our students go through 6 full courses and then take a final exam at the end. They need to be sponsored by a CBV in industry or in business and make sure that they have the appropriate background and a certain number of qualifying hours in order to receive their CBV. And as a result of that, we don't have that many members. As I say, we have 1,200 in Canada. We're by far the largest valuation firm, the largest valuation group in Canada, and we're recognized by the courts. So we consider ourselves to be the preeminent business valuators in Canada representing Canadians.
I'm betting, though, considering everybody else is, you know, so many people are out there looking for work, I'm betting that this is probably a growth industry.
Well, we see anywhere with education these days as a growth industry, as people are not sure what they're going to do. We always have a steady stream of students, and that those numbers, as you say, have increased in the last little while. The last few years, they've been increasing gradually. But we're expecting to see possibly a big jump this year as well.
Now, you see a big jump because there's a need or an interest or a combination of the two?
Well, it's a combination of the two. It's an interesting area to work in. It's very challenging. I very rarely have 2 jobs the same one after the other, so it's always interesting. But the need is also there. The need is also growing, not only in divorce situations, but also for financial reporting purposes. The rules are changing as to how companies' financial statements have to be structured. And as a result of that, there is going to be more need for business valuators to look at the underlying value of intangible assets that a company has, trademarks and patents and things like that. And that's the type of work that we love to do and that we're qualified to do and that we're trained to do.
Because I'm selfish, I'm going to take this to a personal level, as I always do. Something that's stuck in my craw recently with the housing prices going down. If you own a house and you know how much your house has been devalued by what percentage, it doesn't seem that the people who tax your property are bringing their values down at quite the same rate.
Yes. Well, that's a good point, and I think they do it on a historic basis. So hopefully the next time we see the reassessments for the values of our homes, we should see a drop. But I'm pretty certain that the values that they've put out recently with respect to realty taxes are actually based on, I think it's January 08 values.
I see.
And unfortunately for all of us, our house prices have come down since then. And as well, unfortunately for us, our taxes have not come down since then.
So are we all going to have to bring in a CBV at some point?
if it's just the house value, we won't be able to help you too much. But if it's business values and other issues and divorces and litigation and financial reporting, by all means, we'll be there for you.
All right. Just thought I'd check just again. Listen, thanks for doing this with us. And I look forward to seeing a growth in your industry because, like I said, it's taken me this long to find out about you. But now that I know about you, I think, wow, this is a great idea.
Well, thank you very much for having me, John. I appreciate the time. And we look forward to having growth in our industry and increasing the number of members in the Canadian Institute of Chartered Business Valuators. And it's a great and exciting, challenging area for people to look into, for sure.
Do you have a what's the website, just so we can let people know? And they can...
Yes, it's www.cicbv.ca, Canadian Institute of Chartered Business Valuators, cicbv.ca.
Okay, check that out if you're interested in maybe a career in becoming a CBV.
That's great.
Thanks, Farley. Take care.
Thank you
have
very
a great
much,
weekend.
John.
Bye-bye. Bye.